Okay, we're picking up the Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, where the words of Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan. Just to remind ourselves what we were discussing yesterday, the Gemara told us there's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that it was mutar ben Akiva's yarek, that trimming the vegetables is going to be permitted even on Yom Kippur the felt on Shabbos, and normally there's a dinder abana of preparing for after Shabbos on Shabbos. However, since it was part of the kiyum of inoy, of afflicting yourself on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yochanan held that it would be mutar to do that, and the Gemara asked the kasha from the fact that we had the lashon of lo sa'asecha melacha and Shabbason. So what was he going to do with this double lashonos? So the fact that Torah tells you about Shabbason and it also tells you lo sa'asecha melacha, so he learned out that one would be chayav both an essay and a los assay for violating malacha on Yom Kippur. So now the Gemara says we're bringing a proof of Yochanan, Tanakh of us is Rabbi Yochanan. So we're continuing now with the Gemara, and now on the last line. So we bring a raya for Baisa and from Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Yom Kippur Shechalios b'Shabbos, and Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, Mutar b'knivas yarek, that trimming the vegetables is going to be permitted. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara now says, skip the parentheses, the Gemara says, Mafzian be'gozim afrechisim be'rimonim mina mincha ulamala, that someone is allowed to break open crack the nuts and break open the pomegranates from the time of mincha and onwards, ne agmas nefesh, for again, this is the, according to Rashi, this is the idea of the agmas nefesh over here, that a person would be allowed to increase his inoy, his affliction on Yom Kippur, by doing that, and this would be dafka at the time of mincha, because at that time, you feel the fast much more, you're much hungrier, so at that point, it would be mutter, because the inoy, however, in the morning time, that would not be the inoy. There's a big shaila, the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi Pshat, they say, what does this have to do with the idea of being inoy over here? It has nothing to do with the inoy. The agmas nefesh over here is referring to the fact that we allow you to do this malacha of cutting it, of cutting this fruit and getting it, preparing it, in order that you're allowed to eat right after Yom Kippur. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to have to wait till eat. And that's just how the many Rishonim, the Amor, the Ramban, they all go with the fact that we're assuming that by the agmas nefesh that's allowed over here is that you would be allowed to prepare your food in order that it should be ready when Yom Kippur is ready. The Gemara continues, the Vera of Yehuda mekave kerava. So in the Rav Yehuda, they would trim the cabbage Yom Kippur for Motzi Yom Kippur. The Vera Rabba garded kare, and the members of Rabbah, they would scrub off the pumpkins. When Rabbah saw that they were doing this too early, they were doing it before the time of Mincha, and that is not mutter according to anyone. The Gemara says Amar Lehu. So then he would tell them Asa Igrasa Mimarav Mishmid Rabbi Yochanan Asher. A letter came from whatever for Marav is referring to the West, literally, but Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan, and said in the name of the Rabbi Yochanan that he actually says that this is Asher. So the Achronim point out over here that Rabbi Yochanan didn't actually say this, that he was just saying that he said this. Rashi says, Ki'ech l'kalamine, in order that they just accepted his psak, even though we didn't hear this, because he saw that people were being mezalzel na'alacha, and even though he was telling a little bit of a lie, he did this in order to affect that people should be changing what they were doing, in order to create that they should listen to him. It's a big shayla in general. Can a person make up that he heard something from a God of Israel in order to, that he knows it's the right thing to be doing? So can you say, because no one listens to you, but if you say, like Rav Schachter said this, so then people start listening to the big shayla when exactly, obviously it's very limited and how to do it. You have to know a lot of different things. But again, the idea over here is that he thought that it was something that people weren't going to listen to him. So he had to say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan in order that people should listen to him to stop eating. And that, I think, is the minhag as well nowadays, is that we don't have any preparations on Yom Kippur itself because of the idea over there. That's what we quote, Rambam quotes that the Beis Din Rabbah's what he said to what he said. So therefore, we're machmir not to prepare anything on Yom Kippur as well because we're afraid people will come to do it earlier than Mincha. And then with that, we finish Hajalach Ve'eluk Sharem, Hajalach Ve'eluk Sharem, Hajalach Ve'eluk Sharem. 5 second introduction for Kol Kisvei. This parak basically is just going to discuss how does one deal when a fire breaks out in his house on Shabbos. So in terms of there's an Isser Kiboy of Mechabit to extinguish the fire. So what are you allowed to do to take out things? We're afraid, we're going to see the Gemara later on, next day's off, is that we're going to see that when taking out things on Shabbos is going to be problematic because we're afraid that when you're panicked about your property, you're going to come to Mechab, you're going to come to end up to blowing out the fire and pouring water over it in order to save more of your property. So therefore, the Chacham are very machmir about what you're allowed to take and they limited the quantities and things like that. However, then another discussion is going to be, what about Kisvei Kodesh? What about different holy writings? In which case, we're going to be very machmir that they shouldn't get ruined. So we're going to be more makil on the halacha. So the Gemara is going to discuss, that's actually the first mishnah that we're about to discuss right now. So with that, we're ready to start the parak. The mishnah says, Kol Kisvei, so all Kisvei Kodesh Matzilin Osam Nehad Vleka. So every Rashi points out, whether any part of Tanakh, not just Torah, but rather Torah and Neviim Ksuvim, anything that's written on a cloth, that's all on a scroll, is allowed to be saved from a fire on Shabbos, okay? So then the Mishnah continues, Bein Shekorin Behen, whether we read them publicly on Shabbos, like Rashi points out in Nevi'im, which we have the Haftorah every single week, or Bein Sheinkorim, whether we do not read them, we don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos. We never read Ksuvim, and further we're going to see the Hemshech that we actually are not allowed to read Ksuvim. Even though they're written in any language other than Hebrew, even the fact that they're written in a different language, we're going to assume that we're going to see the Hemshech of the Gemara is going to discuss this. Who is this Shita that says this? That where even if it's written in another language, you're allowed, it's still allowed to be rescued. To Anim Gniza, because these foreign language, if they're written something in English or another language, those are going to be Chayav and Gniza. You have to bury them, and therefore, since they're not... we'll see exactly what the therefore is. The Gemara is going to discuss is this connected. So then the Mishnah continues. The Gemara says, "Upnei ma in korin behem." And now going back to the idea of why are ksubim not allowed to be read on Shabbos? The Gemara says, "Why are you not allowed to read them on Shabbos?" The Gemara says, "Nei bittel beis hamidrash, because we're afraid people won't come to the shir." That in the times of the Gemara, Rashi points out that the Beis Medrash used to be a time for when all the balabatim, all the people who work, would come and hear on Shabbos because they were busy all week long, and they would dafka say halachas, like it's the halachas about the kitchen and things like that. All the things that are kashrus and all different halachas are very negiah for the people to go to the shir. So therefore, the Rabbanim wanted to make sure that people would come to the shir. So therefore, they're afraid if people start reading ksuvim, people are going to just learn that and not going to come. So apparently, ksuvim is something that people were more wanted to learn, as we see by the Kohen Gadol, Dafka, the night of the Kim Kippur, to keep him awake. The Gemara says that they would read him different prakim from Ksuvim. So therefore, we see something that interested a lot of people, so we're afraid they wouldn't come to the shir. Fascinating base of Ephraim, you must have made a raya from here that if a person has time to learn, he should make, it's considered Kilu Bittel Torah to learn Tanakh instead, if he only has a little bit of time to learn Tanakh instead of going to shir and learning Halacha and learning Gemara. That is a very big controversial. Rabbi Nezer was very unhappy about even suggesting such a thing, and there's a big shaila about that, and whatever, there's different rises here and there, like Mevatlin, Talmud Torah to go read Mikra Megillah. Why is that? So he brings it right. Oh, maybe it's part of Ksuvim. Okay, a very interesting different back and forth, but at the end of the day, it's obviously Talmud Torah. No one would disagree with that. It just might be a little bit of a lower level than learning something more B'iyun, but either way, even that was rejected by the Avnei Nezer. So now the Gemara says Itmar. So we learn Hayu Ksuvim Targum O B'chol Lashon. So if these scrolls were written in Aramaic or any other language, meaning obviously anything other than Hebrew, Rav Huna Amar in Matzin Osam Bnei Adleika, Rav Chista Amar Matzin Osam Bnei Adleika. Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to save them from a fire on Shabbos. However, Rav Chista says you are allowed to save them from a fire on Shabbos. Rashi points out that Rav Huna is going to assume that the leniencies that the Rabbanan came to when it comes to saving different scrolls is not going to apply to translation. Rav Chista, however, is going to say that yes, that they are going to apply to the scrolls. So the Gemara now says, Aliba demand to Amar ditnu likros behen to kuli amala pligi de matzili. So there's actually a shaila about this. There's a machlokas tanaim whether a person is even allowed to write down the works of the Torah in translation other than Greek. If you're allowed to write them in other languages, so that is a shaila. So according to the Tana, it says you are allowed to in general learn from these translations. The Nevada, everyone would agree, you're allowed to remove them on Shabbos if you had a fire. However, ki pligi aliba demand to Amar lo ditnu likros behen. They're arguing only according to the one who holds that you're not allowed to read from these sources, because again, the Gemara Megillah had this machlokas, but Tonaim, whether or not Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's the one who says that only Greek translation, any other translation, you're not allowed to write down in a klaf, in a Sefer Torah. So then why do we do it nowadays? Tosfos just pointed out that we do that, everyone does it nowadays, right? V'hashas farm shalana matzilin, because he says, because Esau Sosha Shem Efer Torah Secha, that we would lose out the Torah if you didn't write down translation. We didn't have art school. A person wouldn't have art school. How would they figure out anything? So that we are makel on translation. Versus Rav Huna Amar Ein Matzilin. Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to save them. Why? Since they're not allowed to be read at all in general, so therefore he is going to assume that they're not allowed to be saved, because at the end of the day, if I'm not allowed to even read them, so what am I bothering saving them so much? Rav Chista Amar Matzilin. Rav Chista argues, says no, we do save them even though you're not allowed to read them. Why? Bishum Bizayon Kisvei HaKodesh, because even though you weren't allowed to write it down, but still, even though written without the halachic consensus of the Chachamim, at the end of the day, they're still Kodesh, you're still translating words of Tanakh and things like that, so that would not be appropriate, that they should be burned, so therefore you would be allowed to save them. So the Gemara asks Akasha on Rav Huna from our Mishnah, Tanan, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin Sabnei Adleika, Bein Shekorin Zalim, Bein Sheinkorin, Ap Bein Sheksuvim B'chol Lashon. So it says explicitly that whether we read it or whether we don't read it. And then the Mishnah also says, even though they're written in any other language, that we're assuming that any other language right now is saved in a fire. That's what the Mishnah tells us. The Gemara says, my love, when we say that it's any other language, shekorin behem neviim, that when it's considered something that we do read, that's neviim, because we said we have haftorah from the neviim every week, v'she'en korin behem ksuvim, and things that we don't read from them, that's referring to ksuvim. And then, and the things that are in any language, that's Pashas implying that we don't read it at all. Meaning, we're assuming that the lashon of afalpi, afalpi is a lashon which is implying that there's a problem with the fact that they're written in another language that was translated. So therefore, that's Rashi points out, that that'd be indicating that our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Moshe Shimon Gamliel, who forbids the translations, and yet, v'katane matzilin, our Mishnah still teaches you that you say them tiv to the Rav Huna. That would indicate that we have a kasha in Rav Huna, who assumes that Rav Huna would tell us that you, at the end of the day, that you don't save it. So if you don't save it, the Mishnah seems to imply that you do. So how is Rav Huna going to answer this proof from the Mishnah? The Gemara says, Amar lecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna will respond to you, v'tizbra, that you really think that that's a good svar, that the Mishnah, that explanation of the Mishnah makes sense, ema seifa, that if that's the case, consider the second half of the Mishnah. What is the second half of the Mishnah? It says, tunum geniza, that these things need to be buried. Hashtat su matzila. Now, if the Mishnah was teaching you that we are allowed to save them, that we violate the dinder, what is the problem with taking out all these things out? At the end of the day, what's this? So again, we're afraid the water thing that the Gemara is going to discuss also, but another issue the Gemara is potentially going to raise on the next daf, not today's daf, but we're going to discuss is potentially also carrying an area without a not a Rishus Rav Daraisa, but a Rishus Rav Daraisa and a Mavoi, where you have to make a certain Erev, so carrying there would be a problem Darabana. But either way, we're going to uproot that Din Darabana in order to save the Kisvei Kodesh. Now the Gemara is telling you that if we uproot the Halacha, that you allow you to relax the restrictions on taking these things out, so then Geniza Mabai, then would it even be necessary for the Mishnah to tell you that you had to bury them? The Kol Shekhin, the Mishnah doesn't even mention it. It would be Pashut that you'd be allowed, that you should have to bury them. If I'm allowed to violate Dinim Darabana in order to save these Ksavim, then obviously they're holy, and then you wouldn't even need to tell me that if they're in a situation where they're rotting or whatever reason you need to bury them, that you put them in Geniza. So the Gemara therefore says, El Rav Huna Mitaritz Tamir. Rav Huna is going to explain the Mishnah according to his Svar. Rav Chisna Mitaritz Tamir. Therefore, Rav Huna is going to explain the Mishnah the way he wanted to explain it, and Rav Chisna is going to explain it the way that would work with his opinion. So how is that going to work? The Gemara now explains. Rav Huna Mitaritz Tamir. Rav Huna is going to explain the Mishnah according to his reasoning as follows. Bein Shekorim Behem. When the Mishnah says Bein Shekorim Behem, that we read them, what is that referring to? That's Nevi'im. That's referring to Nevi'im. Uvein She'en Korim Behem. And what does that refer to when we say that we don't read from them? That's referring to Ksuvim. So both of these are allowed to be saved. That's the Mishnah's first point. Now, b'med v'murim. In what cases were this said? Sheksuvim b'lashon kodesh. When the scrolls are written only in Hebrew. Aval b'chol lashon. If they're written in any other language, ein matzilin v'afilo hachi geniza bo. We do not save them. However, at the end of the day, you would still require them to have geniza. At the end of the day, would still require geniza. And then Rashi points out that with the lashon that we say afal pi sheksuvim b'chol lashon, that doesn't go on the fact that you save them. Ella, that we're going back to the fact that they need geniza. That's the chiddush. Alpha P, that they're written in any language, and Shabbos, we don't save them. The chiddush is, though, even though that's the chiddush, and we don't save them on Shabbos, yet we're still going to allow you to, not allow you, we're going to require you, rather, to then put them in geniza. So the Gemara then explains, how would Rav Chisda explain the Mishnah? Rav Chisda retires the time, and Rav Chisda explains the Mishnah according to his own Shita. How is that? Bein Shekorim Behem, when we say that we read from them, that's referring to Nevi'im. That's referring to Nevi'im. Ubein Shein Korim Behem, and when we say that we don't read from them, what's that referring to? Ksuvim. So that's referring to Ksuvim. Afa Pish Ksuvim Bechol Lashon Nami Matzilin. So now the Mishnah is telling you, even though these books are allowed to be saved on Shabbos, V'Hafli Kamaram, the Mishnah is telling you, Umekak Shalahem Tungriza. And when they start decaying, that the scrolls start to decay, then they're going to be buried in Geniza, then a person has a chiyuv to put them in Geniza. So then, meaning at the end of the day, we're adding that the Mishnah is teaching you that even after they've started to decay, because they're getting old, as she points out, then at the end of the day, you still have to be machmir to put them in Geniza, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks a kashan on Rav Huna. The Gemara says, Meisivei, we challenge Rav Huna from Braisa. Hayu ksuvim targum v'chol lashon matzilin osan mipnei adleika tiyuv to the Rav Huna. That if the books we're talking about over here, they're written in Aramaic or any other language, we are allowed to save them from a fire. So isn't that a kasha and Rav Huna? Why would you assume, Rav Huna Pashas would assume that you don't save them from the fire yet, the Braisa says explicitly you do. So Gemara says, how am I going to explain, Rav Huna is going to explain, how do I explain the Braisa? Amar lecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna is going to say, hi Tana Savar Nitnu Likros Ben. Now this Tana, who that you're referring to, yes, granted there is a Tana today, but he's the one who held that you're allowed to, the translations are allowed to be read, and I already said Pashas, everyone agreed before, the Gemara started off with that everyone agreed that when it came to something that's allowed to be, if you're a Tana that holds that a targum, that a translation of the Torah is allowed to be written, then they would say, obviously, you kol sheken, you should be allowed to save it, because it's fully holy, and therefore it's something that you're allowed to be saved. So then if he's making that this is the author of this Raisa, then there's no kasha Rav Huna. The Gemara says, fine, Tashmada, I'll bring a proof against, a proof of this against Rav Huna again. Ha'yuxuvim, giftis, madis, ivris, ilmis, and yavanis. They're all languages. If they're written in the ancient Egyptian, and midis is from the country, ivris is the old ancient Hebrew. All of the Torah used to be written in ivris as well. It's a completely different lesson. When you look at actually when they found all the stuff, it's amazing what they found in the Ir David, but all the stuff they found from the early Bayis Rishon period is all written in the old Ivris. They used to write everything in old Ivris. Then the Gemara talks about that Ezra came and was Mesakin Ksav Ashurius, that he was Mesakin, the whole Gemara's all Drasha, how we get to Ezra doing that. By the way, that's Ivris. And Ilmis is Yavanis, is Ilmis in the nation, I don't know exactly, and Yavanis is Greek. Alpha Peshalonis and Lacrossman, even though they're not allowed to be read, Matsin Osame Adleka, the Bryce says explicitly that you're not allowed to read them, and yet this Bryce has said that we do save them from fire on Shabbos. This is very explicit. So how does Rav Huna get around this one? Because at the end of the day, we say over here explicitly that they're not allowed to be read, and yet you save them in the fire. This is against Rav Huna. The Gemara answers here, Amar Lecha Rav Huna, Rav Huna respond to this, Tanahi, at the end of the day, this it's Machlokas Tanaim, when we agree, this is double Machlokas Tanaim, to keep your head over here, that really, there's Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not, when we hold that you're not allowed to read them, does that also mean that therefore I don't save it on Shabbos? That there's going to be one Tana who holds that I still am allowed to save it on Shabbos? Rav Huna's mei modeh, that there is one Tana like that, right? Rav Huna is assuming that there's another Tana that holds you would not be allowed to save it on Shabbos, and that is my sheet that says Rav Huna. This Tana, because we learn in Braisa, ha'yiksuvim targun v'chol lashon v'tzinosan v'adleika. So if they were written in Aramaic or any other language and they were translated that, we would save them from a fire. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer in Matzinosan v'adleika, Rabbi Yossi says, we don't save them from a fire. Amar Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi said, "Ma'isa be'Abba Chalapta Shalach Etzaram Gamliel be'Rebbe Letferet." There was a Ma'isa once that the Abba Chalapta, that was the name of his father, it was Akasha. How is he allowed to call him that? Abba Chalapta, Chalapta was his name. So since he gave him the title Abba beforehand, that his father says, "My father Chalapta, you are allowed to use the name." That's a big shaila when a person is referring to his father's name. Is that a heter? Certain circumstances by Kibud Avim, referring to a person by his name. If someone asks you what's your father's name, so you say maybe give him a national cover like Reb or Rebbe, whatever, and then you might be of a heter to say his first name. Like it's all the lachal pratim, but that comes out from this gemara. The gemara says over here. Anyway, so he said, "Went to Magamliel Berebi in Tveria, Umatzah Shayoshev Ashulchan Yochanan and Nazif, and he was sitting before Yochanan and Nazif. Of the other sefer Iyov Targum Vukorebo, and there in front of them they had the Aramaic translation of the book of Iyov, which he was reading. This translation, Amrlo. So this Abba Chatalafta said to him, so to Rabban Gamliel, Zachor Ani Berabban Gamliel Avi Avicha. Remember your grandfather, who was called Rabban Gamliel Zaken. There's a lot of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and then there was Rabban Gamliel Zaken, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel, and I think after that was Rabban Gamliel. And then after him, that second Rabban Gamliel was the grandfather of the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the one that we know is familiar with, the one author of Mishnayos. That was the chain of the Nasius. And where it says, so I remember him, so Omer al Gav Male Behar Abayis. I saw once we were standing on the steps of the base of Migdash, on the Har Abayis, the area outside the base of Migdash, and the mountain around it, right? Ve'avi lefanam sefer Iyov Targum. They brought before him an Aramaic translation of Iyov. Ve'amar lebanai sheko tachas hanidbach. They said, told the builder who was working nearby, he told him, bury it under the bricks over here. Af hutzi v'alav v'gunzo, and then here in this from Gamliel, therefore said that the translation for Iyov, that they should put it away. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, he said, areva shaltit kafu alav, that they put it dafka under a bowl of clay when they were putting it under in order again, to be buried, to put it in Geniza. So Gemara now says, Amar Rebbe, shtei tshuvas b'javar. There are two reasons to assume that the Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. Chada v'chit tisbar abayis b'raim. Firstly, the story doesn't make sense because we didn't have any clay in the Beis HaMikdash over there, right? Rashi points out that it was really made of more of like a lime material. So therefore, it was how they have the clay to put it on. And also, v'od v'chit mutter la'abdin b'yad. Is it really mutter to destroy them directly? Right? Destroying them, playing clay is like destroying them because you're creating it to decay quicker. Rather, you could put it in an unguarded area and then the decay would happen mamela, and this point would be okay. So this apparently is showing us that there is another sheet in the Mishnah which is understood by Rav Huna, is assuming that while we're assuming that you're not allowed to translate anything into any other Lashon, other than Lashon Kodesh, into any other language, however, at the end of the day, they are not allowed to be rescued. They are not allowed to be left unguarded. You have to put them in Geniza. So we see that you still have to put them in Geniza, yet you're not allowed to rescue them. The Gemara says, Man Tanai. So which time are we assuming that Rav Chista and Rav Huna were arguing about? The Gemara now says, Ile Matana Kama, Rav Yossi, we're assuming that Matana Kama, who is assuming that we would hold like Rav Chista and Rav Yossi, who would assume that it's us or to rescue the translations, and you'd hold like Rav Huna. The Gemara is saying that that's not necessarily the Machlokas Tanai. Dilma Behakam, if they give Eber, they're arguing about the following, Mar Sever Nitin Likros Ben, or Mar Sever Lodin Nitin Likros Ben. That one is going to hold that it's mutter to read it, and the other one's going to hold that it's not mutter to read it. Nothing to do with this machlokas tanaim. Again, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to assume that within the idea that the one who holds that it's usher to read any translation at all, that there's going to be a machlokas whether or not we save it on Shabbos. So where it says, Eli must be Rabbi Yossi v'tana digifes, that we're assuming that the machlokas tanaim is the Rabbi Yossi and the Tana, or the Breisa, who mentioned other language over there, that with that Breisa begin, that we would assume that the Gemara was assuming that that was the machlokas over here. That when it comes to that Braisa would be holding that you would be allowed to save it, and the other, and then Rabbi Yossi would hold that you're not, and that's what comes out of, therefore, that would come out that you'd be allowed to save it like Rav Huna was. And apparently the Lacha is going to follow Rav Huna, that's the Rambam, the Rif rule, because generally we say it's also the first Rasacha anyway, so then we assume that you are allowed to read. And if you're going to be permitted to read it and write it, then Mepashas is also, then you're allowed to save it from a fire nowadays, and that's what's brought down in the halacha as well, that you'd be allowed to save it. Now, the Gemara continues. Now, so the Gemara says, Tanur Abanam. So we learn in the Braisa HaBrachos V'Hakmein. When it comes to brachos, Rashi says we're talking about the brachos of Shemuna Esrei. That's also part of the Torah Shabbal Peh, because you're not supposed to be written down, just like Torah Shabbal Peh not written down. This was commuted by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. It's not something that should be written down. And Kmein were the amulets. We've said a lot about that in the previous talking about carrying it out on Shabbos. So now just stop. We're talking about Kmein amulets. Even though a lot of these things will have names of Hashem, letters of Hashem's name, right, the amulet specifically, and many psukim from the Torah, then it doesn't matter. We're not going to save them from a fire on Shabbos. And rather, we're going to allow them to be burnt. Them, and also if you have Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikan Amru, so therefore they used to say, Kos v'brachos kisorfei Torah, that someone who writes down the brachas is going to be like someone who burns a Torah, because in a case where someone's on fire should break it on Shabbos, you would not be allowed to save it, and apparently having a fire was pretty common, and so therefore you wouldn't be allowed to save it, so it would burn. So there was a person who was writing this bracha in Tzidon, so they came to tell Rabbi Shmuel about this, Rabbi Shmuel the boat, we wanted to target, see if this is really true, check it out, the situation. So Rabbi Shmuel was going up the ladder to see if this guy was really doing this. But the man understood that someone was coming to check him out. Thought he saw Rabbi Shmuel was there. So what did he do? He took a packet of the brachas and he stuck them in a bowl of water. And he said, that's worse than what you're doing in the beginning. The fact that you're writing it down and you're not supposed to, and now you actually destroyed it actively. So since you destroyed it actively, then it was even worse than doing it. Again, why would they bother? Because this was at the time where it was still usher to write down Torah Shabbal Peh. However, when later we made the fact that you're allowed to write Torah Shabbal Peh, so then you're allowed to write down everything, and then it comes out again, Shulchan Aruch pointed out that everything, including the Gemara, and Rishonim, and Poskim, and all that, and Siddurim, all are allowed to be saved from a fire on Shabbos. That's what comes out of Lach nowadays. And verse says, again, this is all assuming that, there's no Pikuach Nefesh, no Shadows of Pikuach Nefesh, which most times in a fire, in our days, and other times in Shadows were different, but Lamaisa, in our days, most fires that would start would definitely be a Shiloh Pikuach Nefesh anyway. So Gemara says, "By Minei," in which case you obviously burn it out, put it out. By Minei, Rishkalusa Miraba Bar Rav Huna, Hayuk Suvin Bisam Vesikra Vekumus Uve Kan Katum. So if any of these parts of Tanakh were written in any of these things which are not normally kosher to write a Sefer Torah with, if they have paint, the red paint, or gum, or all these different copper, all these different types of materials, sulfate, if they're all written in these materials, Belashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, Matzinos Amnei Adleika, O Ein Matzin. The Shaila was, do we say them or not? So what's this, the Gemara is going to explain the suffix. Tibay Laman Demar Matzilin, Tibay Laman Demar Ein Matzin. This is going to be a Shaila about the one who generally says that we save them, and the one who says that we don't. What is that? Tibay Laman Demar Matzilin. This is going to be the one who says that we generally save the Targum, then we translate things outside of anything other than Hebrew, so then we could assume that Hane Mila Heicha Dechsiv Targum and Mecholashim. So then when we say that Ein Matzilin, so that would only be when it's a Targum, when it's written in Aramaic or any other language other than Hebrew. However, this, maybe in this Man Da'amar, he would agree that you would save it because this is written in Lashon Kodesh. So therefore, or you could assume that maybe even the one who holds that we can save any translation, that's only going to be when it's something that lasts and it's something that's permanent. However, that here, since it's not lasting, maybe it's not fully erasing it, since it's already going to disappear anyway in how knows how long, a half a year, whatever it might be, that this ink is not lasting ink, so maybe over here you should assume that you would be allowed to you would not be allowed to rescue it, and you would let it burn. Amarlei, so Rabbi Baravuna responded, "Ein matzilin." Responded Reish Galusa that we are not allowed to save them. So the Reish Galusa asked him this way: Rav Humna Tana matzil. Rav Humna did bring a brisa that says you are allowed to save these scrolls if they're written with any of these inks, even though they're possible to be written as a sefer Torah. So he says, Amarlei. So he responded, "Itana Tana." Oh, I didn't know that. If there was a brisa, then in a chanami, then I would retract what I said. The Gemara continues, might some say that you already knew before, and okay, Pasha says maybe he didn't know. The Gemara says, my Tana. So what is the brisa that teaches us this? Amaravashi can decide, and we learn in the brisa, ain bein svarim lemegillah. There's no halachic differences between any other svarim in Tanakh and a megillah. Elisha svarim nechtav mecholashan. However, any of the books of Tanakh can be written in any language. With megillah achte ksuv ashuris al sefer b'diyah. When it comes to megillah, it's only going to be valid megillah if it's written in davka ksav ashuris, right? The fancy ksav of Ezra, that you have to be, and it has to be on parchment and blank ink. So we see for the fact that the brisa lists blank ink as one of the differences between Megillah and other Sfarim of Tanakh, we could assume that the other Sfarim of Tanakh may be written even with any other types of ink, and there would still be okay to be considered a scroll that's holy, and then you would save them on Shabbos. So therefore, we would see from here that if you're allowed to write them in that, it would obviously be allowed to save it on Shabbos, in which case, that's a raya that if it's written in any other of these inks that normally aren't kosher to write a sefer Torah halachically, but still, they're going to be considered half kedusha, and you'd be allowed to save it. The Gemara now says, Baimine Rav Huna Bar Chalav Merav Nachman. Rav Huna Bar Chalav asked Rav Nachman, Sefer Torah She'in Bel Lakech Shmona Chamesh Osios. I got a shayla, just what would you assume about the inks of print? Is that mamash like you're not writing it at all, or our printed sfarim would also be enough to be saved? That's just to point out. And where it says, "Baymaner Rav Huna Bar Chalav Rav Nachman Sefer Torah She'im Balakas Shmona Chamesh Osios." If a Torah, a scroll which doesn't have 85 letters, that the most of the scroll obviously is erased. If you only have 85 letters, it's very little, and only 85 letters are intact. Are that going to be enough? Kigon Parshas VaYibetzoa Aron Matzilin Oso Mnevdeko Oin Matzilin Oso. That the minimum share we're going to learn in the Hemshich of the Gemara is going to learn out the pasuk of VaYibetzoa Aron Unuvenuch Chayomar in Bahaloscha. So over there, there's only those two psukim. The Gemara is going to learn out that that's a whole sefer in its own. Those nuns are the upside down nuns over there. Is a whole sefer on its own, right? So therefore, we learn, and the letters that they have there are 85 letters. So we're saying that that corresponding number of 85 is assumed to be the minimum share to be assumed to be something that has holiness. So we're wondering over here, if you have a Torah scroll which there are 85 letters, the shayla is, do we save it or not? And the Rishon just points out, Alach L'maisa though, there's only shayla about saving it, but it's pasha that requires geniza, because we know that things that are worms eaten and ruins the Sefer Torah, then even that is going to require geniza, then kol shekein that you have to bury it. So kol shekein this would have to be buried. The only shayla is, are you allowed to save it on Shabbos? The Gemara says, Amar lo, v'tibaylach parsha v'mtzara gufa. Why are you asking about this shayla, about the 85 letters? Why don't you just ask about Vayimen Tzaharon if we see that you have that the section is missing a letter, would we still assume that that's enough? The Gemara says no. When they're missing parts of Vayim Tzaron, I don't have a shayla. Why? To Isbe as Karo, since it has the same Makosh Baruch Hu, Avagav the Leis Beishmonim Chavesh Osios Matzilin. Because even though it doesn't have 85 letters, it can be saved because Pashas that now creates it as something that's Chashav. Actually, I think Rav Salvechik had a Chakira in this. Is it now make it that it's Chashav, or just because the Azkaros in its own right are enough to assume that that's going to be holy that you have to be careful with? Because the Gemara either way says, Kikabayale, when I have this question, Sefer Torah, She'in Balaket. My question is, if I have a Sefer Torah, if I have a Torah scroll, which doesn't have the 85 letters, and there are no Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, where there's a Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said, that creates it as its important thing of 85 letters, so then it's going to be Chashav, and you're allowed to save it. The question is, when it doesn't have, when there is 85 letters, but not any of Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be mine? What's going to be the lacha? Are you allowed to save this from a fire or not? The Gemara answers, Amrlei, Ein Matzilin. He said back to Rav Huna, he said, no, we're not allowed to save it. Asi Vesei, that's a kasha on this. So again, Rav Huna Bar Chalav is asking Rav Nachman, from the Braisa, Targum Shekasa Mikra, if we have an Aramaic Lashon that someone wrote in Hebrew, Mikra Shekasa Targum, or a Hebrew that someone wrote in Aramaic, the Ksav Ivris, or you have a written in Ksav Ivris, right? We said that's the old script. Matzilin Me'at Leika, we're allowed to save all this from a fire on Shabbos. It goes without saying, obviously, that would be the truth, the Aramaic in Ezra, Daniel, and the Torah that we went in Aramaic. Aramaic. Then where's the Targush or Torah Ma'aneh? What's the reference of Aramaic that's written in the Torah itself? The Gemara answers, Yagar Saradusa, right? Gal Eid was what it was called by Yaakov Avinu, where he made the bris with Lavan, and it says over there, the pasuk says, the Lavan called it Yagar Saradusa, that's the Targum, that is Aramaic for Gal Eid. The Gemara says, Avagad Blaise Beish Manu Mechamish Osios. And we're saying over here, the Bryce is telling us that even if you don't have 85 letters, and we're assuming that with this would create a chashuv thing, in which case you save it from Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, no, Kitana Hilashim. When the Bryce is referring to the fact that that Yagar Sadusa is adding to this, that's only if you have 85 letters with the words Yagar Sadusa. That's the chiddush over there. The Bryce is teaching you that even though that's Aramaic, those are mashlim, the 85 letters. So really you do need 85 letters. So the Gemara now says, hey, by the way, we have a question. That if you have, can these letters be scattered all over the Sefer Torah, or do they have to be together next to each other? Rav Huna Amar Mechunasos. Rav Huna says they have to be together. Rav Chista Amar Afilu Mefuzaras. Rav Chista says they can even be scattered, and in which case you would save them on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Meisiv Kashin Rav Huna from the Brisa Sefer Torah Shabbalav. If the Sefer Torah that became worn out, Im Yesh Lalakish One of Chamisha Mosios Kino Parshas Vaymitzoa Aron Matzilin Vimlav In Matzilin." So the Gemara wants to suggest right now that if you have 85 letters which are still intact, which is Lashon of Vaymitzoa Aron, then we would save it. If not, we would not save it. From the fact that we were Lashon Melakhtin, the Gemara assuming that Lalakich Monei Masar, so to gather it, that implies that the letters are scattered throughout the Sefer Torah. In that case, we were assuming that would still be enough and you're allowed to save it. The Gemara says, Tutiv Runa, that's going to be against Rav Huna, who says, that Mechnusas only if they're together. So the Gemara answers now, Targum Rav Chista, Aliba de Rav Huna, Betevos. Rav Chista wanted to give a teretz. For Rav Huna, he said that this is referring to entire words. That we're assuming the Menelakit over here, it doesn't imply that the letters are scattered. We're assuming that the actual letters are going to be together, rather the whole words are scattered. They have a word over here and a word over there. So that's the Machlokas of Chista and Rav Huna, is Dafka where the letters are all scattered. So everyone's going to agree when it comes to words that is enough. That's the Brisa referring to. Words, everyone agrees. However, when you have Mamish, just letters all over the place, that's the Shaila about Rav Chista and Rav Huna. You don't have an answer from the Brisa. Okay, Mirza Hashem, we will pick up with Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow.